When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Oh, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwback and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
The fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin, an incredible victory.
The first thing I want to be done is to get that piece of crap out of my ring. Don't just get him out of the ring, get him out of the WWF. Because I've proved, son, without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what it takes anymore. You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As the King of the Ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWF champion. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Obviously anything but humble, the fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, June the 23rd, 2017. Welcome to another delicious episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Very delicious.
Very delicious. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Yoda of yesteryear.
The Messiah of Memories.
The Messiah of Memories, thank you. The Impact Player, Mr. Phil Urea, and I am joined by...
It is the man they call Choppy.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Yeah, man. If you hear the fan, I don't give a shit because it's fucking hot.
Dude, it's like 90 degrees outside. Humidity is at its high today, man.
I shut the air off because it was really loud, and my second screen keeps going off. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But either way, before we get into anything tonight, let's wish our girl Shaylin a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday, dear Happy birthday to you. 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 Happy birthday to you.
Hello, gorgeous.
All right.
Hello, gorgeous.
Hello, gorgeous. Happy birthday, Shaylin.
Was it a very rigorous birthday?
Was it a rigorous birthday?
Oh, man.
You're a fucking lunatic.
Oh, dude. What are the medication?
Choppy, first of all, Choppy's on medication, so.
Oof.
Choppy had a really bad case of the gout, right? So
for the past 2 weeks.
So his wife, I was just talking to his wife before in pre-production. She said, he's on steroids, Phil. And I was like, oh, how's your appetite, buddy?
Oh, dude, man. This morning, I literally had like 5 eggs. A bagel.
Yep.
And then I had a bowl of fruit.
Yeah.
My extra large coffee from 7-Eleven.
My extra large coffee to go with the 4,000 calories I just took.
And then I had a glass of water. You gotta keep it healthy.
Oh, you gotta. You have to balance that out.
And then I had my little steroid for my gout. And then I had my little multivitamin. Got to keep it healthy.
Oh, yeah. The water and the vitamin, really, just maintains your urine. That's all it does.
Dude, it's fantastic.
At this point, because you inhaled like 9,000 calories for the day.
And on top of that, this pill gives me the worst fucking diarrhea in the world.
Any kind of steroid or antibiotic. Dude, I was on, and you saw how much antibiotics I was on when I was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oral and intravenously, right? So, check this out. I went and had, like, the upset stomach for the next 2-3 weeks after I was out of the hospital.
Ugh.
Like, I didn't have a solid bowel movement, TMI, but in, like, for the rest, almost till about 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, she added you? Oh, she better have added you.
I mean, what are you talking about?
She said that my wife, Brielle, added her on Facebook.
Added who on Facebook?
Shaylin.
Oh, Shaylin, okay.
That's good.
So Shaylin's spending her birthday with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. That's why she gets a Beatles birthday.
That's it.
That's it. Howdy doody. Get your chancletas. That's it. Get your chancletas and go searching for men.
Oh, habichuelas también.
That's it. That's it. All right. So we have a loaded show today.
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, as we speak right now, we got the Ring of Honor pay-per-view going down. We'll preview that in a minute. Choppy's on the soapbox tonight. He wants to talk about a lot of shit. And then we got a really cool throwback for you. If you're a Glow fan, Glow starts tonight. I'm trying to get little Egypt back on the show, but it's just like pulling teeth. She's doing so much press for the show.
Yeah, I know.
That she's just gonna come on eventually and talk more about it. And she foresaw all this happening when she talked to Dave and I a couple of years ago. She's like, this is gonna happen, and we kept saying, okay, yeah, fine, and it did. So if you are a Glow fan, if you want to be one, it, apparently this is really good. Go. I haven't seen it yet. I spent an entire day cleaning my house. I'm just full of piss and vinegar. Choppy's full of piss and vinegar, so it's going to be a good show tonight. And we're going to have a good time tonight, so.
I'll tell you right now, though, I heard of some good reviews out of that Glow show on Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to get good reviews because Netflix and Hulu and all these, and Amazon, all these independent streaming platforms are coming correct, bringing different kind of content to you. The consumer. It's really fun, man, because I watch Hulu through you. I have Netflix and Amazon through us.
Yep.
And it's like you get a different flavor of everything, man. It's fucking fantastic.
There's a lot of great content on all these streaming services. I tell you right now, if it wasn't for Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, I would not have a job in New York right now because all the stuff that I'm doing with my union is all for all these TV shows on Amazon.
And now I just got to find somebody with a DirecTV account so I can log in and watch football. Because now with DirecTV, if you're a DirecTV customer, when I had DirecTV, you have DirecTV? Are you serious?
I do.
Get the fuck out of here.
I thought I told you.
No.
I do have.
I don't pay attention to your cable box when I come to your house. Yeah. Fuck do I care?
I have DirecTV.
So you have the login then. You could watch.
I don't know what it is, but I'll get it for you.
Do that, because when I had DirecTV, I had to pay $300 a year for fucking football.
Why?
Because it was a separate package. Now football's included in your DirecTV.
Okay, so
when I
find out what the login is, we're going to be watching
football every Sunday at my house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's going to be insane.
About the preseason games?
That's what I really want to see. I want to see. There's four preseason games, and my Vikings are in a transition. Your Giants are in a transition right now, so it's going to be fun to watch those teams. I'm sure Will Morgan's going to preview. We have a couple of weeks to... Spectrum was back, was Time Warner. I refuse to have those guys anymore.
Well, I have Spectrum for internet. They're good.
For the internet, yeah. But Fios is the same thing. It's the same shit now. You get, 70 megabits and whatever.
I'm paying $50 a month, and I asked them, are you going to charge me taxes, this, that, and other fees? And I'm like, no, it's always going to be $49.99 a month.
Because you have that same speed. You don't really need... Yeah, if you
I have 100
Right, MBS. So do I. If you have a certain speed... And just internet, or if you just have a package deal, they're not going to. But if now that this is where they get you, if you sign up for the cable and it's like, oh, you can have this price for 2 years, and then we'll
jack it up, after
and then
that.
They jack it up on you, and you're like, oh, this is terrible. So it's going to come down to we don't even have cable anymore. It's going to stream shit.
Listen, all you need is an internet connection. And then you got your Netflix, you got your Hulu, you got everything out there. You don't need TV, cable, really.
No, you don't.
So.
You don't. So, yeah, so it's been an interesting week. Mikey was sick at the beginning of the week. He wasn't feeling well when he came back from his dad. So I stayed home. I had my bag on my shoulder, and I'm walking out of the house. He wakes up crying. I got a headache, and she couldn't stay home because she had a client. At work, and I'm like, you know what, fuck it. So I tapped out, and I was like, I was on my way out the door. So I stayed home Monday. I didn't watch any wrestling this week except for the pay-per-view on Sunday. I did watch Money in the Bank.
I did as well.
And I did watch the throwback. So, and I just told Choppy I watched The Great American Bash from 92.
Oh, that must have been so good.
Which might be a throwback because it's Vader and Sting.
Yeah.
Sting.
Oh, wait. Sting. Yeah, let's get that. Where's Black Scorpion?
Sting.
Yeah.
Black Scorpion, a.k.a. Ole Anderson.
Don't forget, man, next month, the 5-year anniversary show, Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah, stay locked onto that date, man. I mean, come on. We all want you guys to be live and listen to us. And
yeah.
It's going to be a great show.
It's going to be Hulk Hogan versus... Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We're going to have the Wizards in studio with us.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Most of them, anyway.
Is Tony coming?
Tony should be coming. Okay, he said great. He was coming, so... I'm hoping to get at least three of the out of the four Wizards. If not, we'll get fucking...
Because I know Matt's going to be busy that week, right?
Yeah.
Like Matt a lot.
Yeah. You're the only one that likes him a lot.
Matt's great. You know what?
No. I love Matt.
You know why he's great?
He is great.
He's from my area.
He's from your area. He's from that part of the world.
He's the greatest part of the world.
Is it really?
It's either that or Massachusetts, one or the other.
Really?
Ooh, really?
Wow.
All right, Miz.
Well, that's debatable.
Ooh.
That's debatable. Anyway, nothing else going on. So you're on drugs. That's good.
Yeah. I feel much better, by the way.
Because you're on steroids, that's why.
Oh.
You going to bench press your car tonight when you get home? You should.
I'm going to bench press my wife.
Bench press your wife.
Hey-o!
Yeah. You don't want to... Well, yeah, you... You should. No, you'd be all right. Be safe.
Yeah.
It'd be a safe deal. What else is going on?
Nothing much. Nothing. And not.
You met the Tick?
I met the guy who's playing the Tick I guess, is it Hulu? I think it's Hulu or Amazon.
I think it's one of them, yeah.
And I met Paul Giamatti last week.
Oh, yeah. Pig vomit from Howard Stern's Private Parts. I love Paul Giamatti.
And he was also Rhino in Spider-Man.
He was Rhino in Spider-Man.
And then I also met, I guess, Jennifer Aniston's husband or boyfriend.
One of her boos, yeah.
Justin Theroux.
Yeah, he's
okay. He's an okay guy.
Speaking of Spider-Man, 2 weeks, Choppy and I will not be on.
Yes.
You'll probably get the Little Egypt episode that we did with Dave a couple years back. I'm going to make that a classic throwback episode, too.
Okay.
We're going to see Spider-Man. So,
yeah, it's a must. He's one of my favorites in comic book history. And it's also Phil's favorite, so we got to go see it.
Yeah, we got to go see Spider-Man.
This new kid looks amazing as Spider-Man. I liked him in Civil War, and I'm really excited for his standalone movie now.
I did not like him in Civil War, but...
Are you out of your freaking mind?
I didn't. I told you. I'm not...
When it comes to Spider-Man, my glass is half full, half empty, I should say, because I'm pessimistic only because I don't like these constant fucking reboots. But you're telling me it's not going to be a reboot. It's going to be just a continuation of him being in school. And
yeah, it's not. They're not doing a reboot on this new.
Well, he's got a dumpy friend. I see that.
You know who his dumpy friend is, right?
No.
You know Ned Leeds?
Yeah.
He's the guy who becomes the Hobgoblin.
Oh, right. So he's dead. Okay.
And then one of his love interests in the movie is related to Michael Keaton.
Who's the Vulture?
Who's the Vulture?
The Vulture looks really good.
Dope.
That looks really
good. And who did you see, the Shocker? Shocker's in this.
Oh, so it's the Sinister Six.
It's starting up to be like that.
Yeah. See, I know my shit, son. I'm just very old now.
You know who's the one villain I want to see?
Mysterio. Yes, thank you.
Mysterio.
See, we're like this. We're like psychic friends,
dude,
you and
Mysterio,
I.
Mysterio, and I want to see Scorpion.
Scorpion was good. Oh. Yep.
And who else do I want to see?
You want to see Venom and Carnage again.
You heard of Carnage is good?
I know. You tagged me in that.
Motherfuckers. Carnage will be the villain in the Venom movie. I cannot fucking wait.
See, they should do a Secret Wars where they show how the alien suit was.
How much do you want to bet Tom Holland's character in the Infinity War is going to get the black costume in?
He should get this. And you know what happened? Like, you know, Mr. Fantastic had it in Secret Wars. He had it locked up and shit. It got loose or whatever. Okay.
So he brings it over to Earth, and then he eventually detaches himself from the costume, and that's when the costume goes on to Eddie at the church.
Eddie Brock, in the bottom of the church.
And Eddie Brock was about to commit suicide, and then Symbiote attached onto him. It was so good.
That was a good story. We're getting our fanboy on in a couple of weeks.
God, I can't wait.
We got some cool throwbacks that we're throwing back and forth. You know, see what you know. Just that we may do a fan. I might do a Fantasy War fan a couple of weeks. I got some things I'm thinking about. All right. Do you want to get into wrestling or
let's do it?
All right. So the first thing I really want to talk about before we get out of the way, let's preview the ROH Best in the World pay per view. What's going on right now?
Please do.
Where is it? Here we go. Let's see. I didn't have time to do a pre-show. I apologize. We'll start from the bottom up. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Let's see. The Rebellion taking on Search and Destroy, which is Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Jay White, and Jonathan Gresham. The Rebellion is Kenny King, Rhett Titus, Caprice Coleman, and Shane Taylor. Shane Taylor's a beast.
I think, I don't know. I think the Rebellion's going to get this one.
I'll take Search and Destroy just because. The Kingdom, Matt Taven and Vinny Marseglia versus CMLL's Ultimo Guerrero and El Terrible. This is a working agreement with CMLL, with ROH. Matt Taven is doing super good in Mexico. He keeps going back there, and it's really fun for him, so I'm happy for him. Matt Taven's a good wrestler. When him and Mike Bennett were a Kingdom, they were fun to watch. These other Goombas that he's got with him, I don't know who they are. One got hurt, one's not hurt, so yeah. It is what it is, but, you know, it is what it is.
I like Matt Taven a lot. He has a lot of character. I wish he would get signed by WWE. He needs to get back to the E or NXT, one of those.
He needs to get out of this tag team rut and start winning fucking belts by himself.
I mean, he's a former television champion, former tag team champion.
He needs to get into that title picture.
I think he could be a world champion.
I think so, too.
He's also been the six-man tag team champion as well.
Yeah, with the new belt, yeah.
So,
strap match, Hangman Page versus Heavy Metal Rebel Frankie Kazarian.
I think Kazarian's going to win this one.
Yeah, you know what? Page.
I like Page a lot.
I like Page a lot, too. Page is coming into his own. He's borderline reckless in the ring, though.
Yeah, he's.
He throws some crazy hard spots, man. He is borderline careless. He needs to slow down a little bit with that Bullet Club mentality.
But you want to know something? He's very young still. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't dislike him. I don't want him to get burnt out. I don't want him to wreck his knee or, you know, doing these hard spots, like, you know, these flips and shit. He's very reckless, especially when it comes to outside the ring activity.
Yeah.
But that's his character. However, if he's going to be the enforcer of the Bullet Club, he's got to take some reserve himself a little bit.
I think he needs to get a title.
Right.
I think he deserves one, man.
I think he should. He could be junior heavyweight champion in New Japan.
Yeah, but you want to know something? He's mostly an ROH mainstay right now. But I think he should be like a TV champion.
TV champ
or world tag team champion.
Yeah. Now these two guys are getting back into the title picture. Pro Wrestling's Real Last Man, Silas Young versus Jay Lethal. Those both guys, like, they've been putting on some good matches all over the country.
Silas Young is so underrated, man.
He is, and he's gonna be a champion.
I hope the guys are right. He deserves it, man. He's so good. The guy is 37 years old, and he looks like he's 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looks great. He looks like Von Cage from Punch Out.
Oh my god. That's a great throwback right there.
Choppy's match of the night, the Briscoes and Bully Ray defending the 6-man straps against Dalton Castle and the boys.
The boys and Dalton Castle are gonna get these straps. I have a feeling they have to get it.
I saw Dalton Castle's promo the other day on
Facebook. Yes, I did too.
Just when you think you have it all figured out, there's the boys. And I was like, yeah, buddy.
He's getting the belts. I don't care what anyone says.
ROH World Tag Team Championship is being defended as the Young Bucks defend against the War Machine, who recently lost their IWGP titles to the Gorillas of Destiny. Yeah.
Man, I wish I didn't see that match. I only saw part of it, like little highlights.
It's online. Yeah, you gotta watch that. It's a good match. It's a good match. The TV title rematch, Kushida against the villain, the Bullet Club villain now, Marty Scurll.
Marty's gonna get it back.
Now, Choppy and I were talking about this in pre-production. The Bullet Club, the shirts are sold out everywhere on Hot Topic and Pro Wrestling Tees. They put the Marty Scurll umbrella on Pro Wrestling Tees. And, of course,
The Mandingo
Ninja, Rob Domingo.
Got it.
He got one.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so we have to have Takeover Club umbrellas now. We have to. Yo, I think Rage had one good idea. Shout out to Rage, by the way. Rage had one good idea. We should get cuts, like biker cuts. Like vests and shit.
What, we look like aces and eights?
Yeah, exactly. For the summertime, because, you know, we can't wear our fucking, you know, we can't wear the shirts all the time. We can wear the shirts with the cuts, like, you know, I don't know. Be like a gang. The cops will check our bags and think we're a gang, you know. But, yeah, no, I like that whole biker thing. I think it's cool. We'll get some patches and shit.
Oh, man.
Be fucking fierce. Or it'll look gay and we'll be all fucking, the people will laugh at us. But you know what? If grown men can wear championship belts on their motherfucking shoulders at wrestling matches, why can't Big Phil in the Takeover Club wear fucking cuts? Biker cuts. Why can't I?
We can wear chaps, too, while we're at it.
You know what? Now you're just reaching. The only ones who wore chaps and got away with it were the Road Warriors.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, and even then, that was... you know what? Who else got away with it, though?
Shawn Michaels?
Well, Shawn Michaels don't count. I'm talking about in metal. Judas Priest, singer Rob Halford. And Rob was gay and didn't really come out of the closet until about 15.
He was gay?
He's very gay.
No way!
Matter of fact, he lives in Arizona. He's like the... And when they had the Pride Parade...
The lead singer of Judas Priest was gay?
He's very gay.
No way!
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And when he was doing all this shit with the leather chaps and the glasses and stuff, he was really singing about, you know, that lifestyle. But nobody really caught on. It was just like, oh, it's the 80s, it's metal, nobody cares. When they have the Pride Parade where he lives now, he lives in the States, he lives in Arizona, he's like the Grand Marshal.
That blew my mind, dude. I thought the guy from Twisted Sister was gay, but not the dude from Judas Priest.
Speaking of Twisted Sister, and I don't wanna break away from wrestling, but Twisted Sister, there's an awesome documentary on Netflix. About
how good is
it? My god, it's so good.
I gotta see it.
Yeah, it's really good.
He's a Long Island guy.
Yeah. And drummer's from Staten Island. He passed away. But the drummer's from Staten Island. He was from Staten Island.
And he's good friends with Mick Foley.
Yes.
All right. Back to wrestling.
Now, so Choppy is invested in this, the world championship.
Yes,
Christopher Daniels defending against everybody lately.
Yeah.
Putting his belt up against Cody.
Fighting champion.
Yeah. You're,
I think Cody's going to get the belt.
You know, Cody's got two championship matches in 2 weeks. He's got this match, and he's got the IWGP championship match in G1.
He's going to win the Ring of Honor World title, and then you're going to see Ring of Honor World Champion versus the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, but he will not beat Okada. And the only reason he's not going to win Okada is because Kenny Omega's going to get the U.S. strap, and then Kenny Omega's going to get the IWGP strap. That's how I see it's going to happen.
No. What the fuck is this now?
What's the matter?
Cabrera requests trade after being told he will shift from shortstop to second base. You know what, dude? Fuck you. I'm sorry. I'm talking about baseball. You know what? Just fucking trade this dude. You know what? Esdrubal Cabrera, they gave him a bobblehead next month and everything.
Yeah.
You want to be traded because you're switching positions? You're a fucking infielder. You fucking ingrate. Yeah, fucking trade him. Mets are 10 games under 500 anyway. Just fucking trade him. Fuck him. Anyway. champion versus champion, Okada, you're saying Cody's going to win this match and lose against Okada?
Yes.
All right, well, we'll preview G1 in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure Choppy will have the same prediction, but I don't know who's going to win yet. Because you know what? This booking, they're doing the same kind of booking as Ring of Honor, I mean, as New Japan. You don't really know. It's not predictable, you know?
Which I like, because you know who's booking this shit, right? It's fucking, what's his name? The dude with the mask. I always forget his name.
Delirious.
Yeah, he's the one who's booking this shit, and I think he's doing a great job. Yeah. A lot of people are not a fan of his booking style. I like it a lot.
You know, if it keeps you going, I was talking to my cousin Anthony before, he wants to watch the pay-per-view, and I sent Nick German Suplex a text message because I didn't know what that site was. But, again, I was going to buy it. It's like $37, $36.
They went up?
Yeah, for the HD feed.
Well, can you do me a favor? Can you send a link to me?
The link of with Nick German?
No, yeah, for the Best in the World link to watch the pay-per-view.
Oh, you mean when I get it tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give it to you. I'll download it.
Oh, you can download it?
Yeah,
oh,
I download it. I'll just give it to you.
Let me know. Oh, thanks,
on
man.
On a thumb drive. Just bring a thumb drive.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I get them all, like, the next day. Like, around lunchtime, I'll have it.
Awesome.
So just come over and get it. Yeah, so we'll do that. So, you know what? This is going to be a good pay-per-view. If you don't want to wait, go buy it. You know, go buy it now or get it for the replay and whatever. But it's going to be good, man. So enjoy that. All right. Let's talk. You saw Money in the Bank, right?
I did, yes.
All right. You know something? And I hate to be right sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with being right.
I hate to be right because I don't know where they're going with it. And I enjoyed the pay-per-view.
I did not.
I did. And just hear me out. We'll go right into it. Carmella beats Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Natalya, and Tamina to win the Money in the Bank. So, of course, everybody knows now, James Ellsworth climbed the ladder for her and grabbed it and as part of the storyline. I think she needed to win this. I'm not saying how she won it was right, but she needed to win this, you know? She's the only one in that group that needed to win this. I don't think Becky Lynch is as good as she was. Charlotte's always going to win the big matches. Natty's only there to put the chicks over. And Tamina's just a side piece that, you know, she reminds me of like a side piece that
she's just
angry
there.
Married men just go after.
She's just there because of her father. That's it.
That's fine. That
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Tessa Blanchard's getting a fucking Mae Young spot.
Ooh.
And look who her daddy is, okay? So let's not get that twisted. That's fine. I don't care. Every fucking sibling Samoan should be in there. That lineage grows deep. And I don't care. They're all good, talented people.
The only person who's not related to the NY family is fucking Samoa Joe.
Right.
And everyone else is somehow related to like the wild Samoans.
Yeah. So it is what it is. She won. And it's... Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's my issue with this match. This match was touted as the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match, right?
Right.
I'm expecting spot fest after spot fest with these ladders. And, of course, you know, I don't know if management told these women, look, have a ladder match, but be safe.
Hear me out for a second.
Okay.
Hear me out for a second. That's the reason why they didn't have to do all the crazy spots, because it was the first one. Like, I remember when Beth Phoenix had the first ladder match.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, they're going to do these crazy spots, and they didn't.
They did not.
You don't have to do the Jeff Hardy spot the first time around.
I'm not saying do the first...
But you know, people, listen, it's either you get the whole thing or you don't. I don't want to see it half-assed. And you know me, I'm not big. The only gimmick matches I like, and you know this, are cage matches. I don't like... Or I like a good lumberjack match if it's done right.
Yeah.
But I'm not into these ladders and chairs and shit. Because you know what? I can give a shit if you can do a fucking swanton or a leg drop off the top of the cage. Some of the spots are cool. Some of the spots are really brutal when they bounce off the... I don't care how light those ladders are. That shit has to hurt when people bounce bodies. You know, when bounce bodies off there.
I hate when people tell me, "Oh, when they hit the ladders, it doesn't hurt." Of course it hurts. Yeah, are you fucking retarded?
Yeah, of course it hurts.
Are you fucking stupid? Go to the fucking zoo.
So Carmella was stripped of the briefcase on SmackDown.
She was.
So it's gonna be a rematch.
Here's my problem with this match. It was also not enough to me. They should have had a little bit more spots. But my biggest issue was the ending of the match. I didn't give a fuck if he knocked Natty. I think it was Natty he knocked over the ladder, right?
Yeah.
Ellsworth?
Yeah.
I was okay with that. It would have been better if he helped Carmella up, put her on his shoulders, and walked her all the way up. I would have been okay with that because at least she grabbed the physical briefcase.
Right.
That would have made sense. No, he goes up there himself, grabs it, and then throws it to her. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ending. I'm sorry. It just didn't make sense to me.
So, let me ask you this now.
Okay.
She gets the rematch.
Yeah, they're going to have a rematch now.
And she wins.
If she wins and she actually goes up there herself and gets it, I'll be cool with it. That's fine.
Okay.
I'll be okay with it.
So, and apparently the internet exploded after she...
Oh, dude.
The way she won it.
And flipped the fuck
again,
out.
I had no... I
don't blame
them. Okay, and that's fine. I'm on the other side of the fence. I had no problem with it because I think it's there's no rule.
It's the first ever. You don't do something like that in the first. If it was like maybe three or four women's.
Well, I think it's cool in storyline that Shane stripped her because now she's gonna win it back.
Yeah, she's gonna get it back,
and she's gonna get the push.
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, was she not? I'm sorry.
Not go Becky Lynch.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry
about that.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you. I forgot. Yeah. It's, you know what? I just agree with you because I forgot. So, all
right. This right here.
This match was good.
Fucking good.
And the Usos retained.
They, do the count out.
Against, they fought the, they fought?
The New Day.
The New Day. This reminded me of a fucking Ring of Honor match.
Yes, it did.
A lot of false finishes, a lot of good spots. I like Big E, man.
He's a good big man.
I like him a lot, and I can't wait till he breaks free from this fucking New Day.
I know you're not a big fan of the New Day.
I'm not anymore. I'm not. It's ran its course, man.
I mean, it ran its course on Raw, but now they're on SmackDown, so they're gonna keep going with this on SmackDown.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
They sell so much merchandise. It's not even a joke.
They need something because the Alpha guys are hurt. So,
and are they hurt?
One of the guys was hurt. I forget.
I didn't know that. I thought,
yeah, one of the guys was hurt. But so, they got Breezango now. They're pushing those guys with the Miami Vice skits. They're fucking hysterical. I'm not a big fan of Fandango. I do like Tyler Breeze.
I think Tyler Breeze is the most underrated worker right now in the WWE.
Okay,
the guy is really really good.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what's going on with this guy's career, but they need to, like, fucking let him break out on his own.
Yeah, so the Usos get themselves counted out. Total heel move.
I love the Usos gimmick, man. They're so good as heels. I love them. I love their gimmick.
Yeah, it was... I mean, one point, Kofi hits the SOS for the two count. Big E got back in a match. Big ending on Jay. Broke up by Jimmy. Went back and forth. Then they hit the Midnight Hour, which is, I hate the name of that finisher, so does my son. And then, what is it? What's his face? Jay drags his brother outside, and the Usos get counted out.
And you're like, we don't need this. We're out of here.
Exactly. We're done. We're done. Pastor never liked them either. You know what, Pastor? Pastor never liked the New Day.
I mean, when they first came out, they sucked. But then when they started making the crowd laugh with their making fun of the town that they were in all the time.
Yeah, I just don't like the fact the kids had to buy $30 boxes of cereal. That's pretty...
No, I'm not buying no $30 boxes worth of cereal.
But... I don't even buy regular cereal. At regular price, I wait till it goes on sale.
Go to Wally World, get for $2 a box.
Love that Wally. Me and Choppy went to... Choppy comes to my house last week, right?
Ooh.
This is a little side note. So Choppy comes over. He's like, yo, man, I gotta go shopping. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I gotta get some shorts. I gotta get this and that. I'm gonna go to Target. As much as I love Target, Wally World's got the better prices. I'm like, yo, you need to go to Walmart, dude. He's like, yeah? I'm like, yeah, they got everything you need there for cheaper. He's like, yeah? Yeah, you need to take me with you because I need fucking... So we went shopping at the Wally World at like 8 o'clock at night.
It was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Guess what my wife got me?
Oh, yes. So check this out. So now I'm in the aisle with his wife, and Bree's 7 months pregnant. So she's not getting around sometimes. Right? So we gave one of those scooter gimmicks, right?
Yep.
And so she's behind me. Choppy is somewhere... Well, I don't know where the hell you are. But she's with me in the toy aisle. I always look at the toys because I'm a big kid. I'm looking at the toys, and I always, when you look at the toys and they're on the top, there's always a couple of toys on the top shelf that the stock people don't stock. They just keep it on the top shelf.
For bullshit, they hide it for themselves.
Well,
they hid it for themselves.
Whoever hid this for themselves didn't do a very good job. Because the first thing I see was a 1987 Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah!
With the robe and the belt and
the
everything.
The belt came with it. Ooh, yeah!
And I was like, she goes, ooh, I should get this for Choppy, you know, for like Father's Day. And I was like, okay. Technically, he's a father, but not, I mean, technically you are, but
yeah, not yet.
Next year will be the official Father's Day gimmick.
Correct.
So she's like, I should get this for him. I'm like, any good wife should get her husband a Macho Man figure. You know. So, yeah, I advocated for Choppy to get the Macho Man figure.
God bless you.
Yeah, God, thank you. So we went to Wally World, and that was cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that Choppy,
you know, I got my flavored water, my seltzer water, and I got some snacks.
And I got some shorts for work. I'm actually wearing them right now.
That's right. All right. Here's your next match.
Ugh.
Naomi retains her title, defeating Lana.
And you called it.
Yeah, because I don't think Lana is
capable.
Is good.
She's not.
she's hot, but she's not.
What good. Is up with that finisher that she does? It looks like a retarded sky high that D'Lo Brown came up with and broke what's his name's neck.
Draws.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Jesus, man.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Jesus, man.
She is horrible, man.
Jesus,
man.
I'm sorry, but. That was a horrible looking move that she did, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Naomi, let me tell you something. Naomi, she's a fucking athlete, dude. She should have been in the money. If she wasn't champion, she should have been in the Money in the Bank. She's good, man, in that ring. Yeah. I like her. She's
Naomi. Great. Naomi's all right. I just the gimmick is a little for me. I don't, whatever. Yeah. Was Lana that bad in the ring?
Fuck yeah, she was. She was terrible.
I thought she was, Shaylin. She's better than she was, but she needs to stay down.
Oh, you didn't miss
She should have stayed in NXT for a little while and did her thing down there.
But that's the thing. She was in NXT for like 3 years. What the fuck did she do down there?
I'm talking about now, just to refine. I mean, they could have had it down there for a couple of months.
I mean, they had fucking Rusev wearing a skirt in NXT, and what the fuck was she doing down there? Just sucking his dick?
Hey-o.
God damn, dude.
Wow.
He stinks, and I don't like it.
Well, too fucking bad if you don't like it.
My favorite moment of the night was Mike and Maria making their debut on... Make all the sounds you want, but this is fucking Brother Love 2.0.
You love Mike Bennett.
I love Mike Bennett, man.
I didn't like him when he was in ROH. I never fucking liked him.
That dude, the best... I'm telling you, Mike Bennett...
I don't see the appeal.
I was listening to him on Edu Christian have a podcast, by the way.
Yeah, they're good.
Right? And they had Mike Bennett on the last show, right? And, you know, Edge and Christian are like best friends since they're little kids. So it comes off. When you're friends with the person you're doing a podcast with, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
You know? They do a really good job, and they just talk about everything. And they broke down the pay-per-view, but they had Mike Bennett on, and I totally forgot that he fucking went to OVW and...
Mike Bennett?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he OVW?
He was in the game 10 years before Ring of Honor.
He was a Southern Tag Team Champion, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, like, you know...
Was he signed already?
No, but, well, they... Developmental.
He had a developmental deal with...
He worked with Rip Rogers and...
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, that, you know, so did Edge. So they talked, and I like Mike Bennett. Choppy doesn't. I have a whole new respect for him now after listening to the Edge podcast. I think this is he said, this is the one thing that eluded me. I did Japan. I did Ring of Honor. I if you don't want to be here, if your goal isn't to get here, you shouldn't be wrestling. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Unless you're a Japanese wrestler and you just wrestle in Japan, which is, you know, a lot of guys do that, but the big guys were here too. Okada was here, you know. Now what's his face is here. Nakamura's here. You know, Kenta was here. Masada wrestled here. So anyway, they come out, they make their debut. Mike took Maria's last name, so they're Mike and Maria Kanellis. They have the whole love thing. They're like,
I hate
that.
It.
And I think it's gonna be fantastic. They're going to force this down our throats like they did with Brother Love, and the segments are going to get better and better and better.
I do like their theme song, though.
Yes.
It's so cheesy, and I love it.
It's supposed to be.
And I love it.
It's supposed to be, and I'm not into skinny girls, really. I mean, I like skinny girls. They're beautiful. Some of them are beautiful. Some of them aren't. But Maria Kanellis may have the most perfect hiney in pro wrestling.
Ugh.
I'm not saying she's good looking, like, in the face.
I'm not saying she's a bad looking girl, but, like, to say that she has a nice ass, nah, not really. I don't think so.
I saw it multiple times, and she got a nice hiney. And I'm sure she's going to wear some fucking crazy shit now in with this gimmick. It's going to be great. And then Mike Bennett and Steen, a couple years ago, nearly killed each other. And I thought it was dope because, when you get that far, and you wrestled Adam Cole, you wrestled Samoa Joe, you wrestled the Briscoes, you wrestled Jay Lethal, you wrestled everybody on the, good on the planet. Now you're here. Like, he's done the gambit.
He's done the rounds. I mean, like, I just don't, like, when he was in ROH, Jim Cornette had the biggest hard-on for this motherfucker.
Well, Jim, here's a good, funny story. You say that, good segue. Jim Cornette signed him to their camp and made him work through the camp, even though they didn't tell him that he was going to be picked anyway.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just to see how he would react. Jim Cornette's like, oh, you were signed anyway. We just wanted to see how you would react in the camp with everybody else.
Oh, wow.
So he did everything right. Married a
Who trained him?
Bullet Bob.
In Boston.
Brutal Bob, I'm sorry. Brutal Bob and Rip Rogers and somebody else.
Kowalski didn't train.
No, he didn't go to Kowalski. He was in New Bedford, Mass, though. He got trained up in New England.
Chaotic Wrestling, then. I think it was.
But he mentioned today on the podcast. I listened to it today while I was cleaning.
Brutal Bob is the one guy that should have gotten a much better break in wrestling, though.
He's a good trainer, man.
He was good.
Apparently, he's doing really big things with these kids now, so which is cool. And, of course, the main event.
Gender My Fucking Balls.
Gender My Balls.
Champion.
Retains against Randy Orton. Randy Orton was ringside. They had Sergeant Slaughter, Ric Flair, Larry Henning, Greg Gagne, and Baron Von Raschke.
Why the fuck was Greg Gagne out there?
Because they're all Midwestern, Midwestern legends, allegedly.
I'm surprised they mentioned the fact that all of his accolades, the AWA Television Champion, AWA World Tag Team Champion.
Yeah, because his daddy was the fucking promoter. I mean, listen, every dad... Tully Blanchard's dad did it in Texas.
Joe Blanchard, yep.
Joe Blanchard did it. Greg Gagne, Vern Gagne did it with Greg. The Graham, Eddie did it for Mike. Like, if your dad's running the territory...
Devon Erichs did it, too.
Devon Erichs did it all the time. You're going to be champion. So, you know what? It happened. Greg Gagne was a better tag team wrestler anyway with the High Flyers.
He's very boring.
Yeah, he was very boring. But yeah. He was good with jumping Jim Brunzel, though. They were the High Flyers. They had some decent matches. Their ring gear was kind of fruity, but it was.
Stop!
I mean that Grateful Dead ass hugging tie dye shorts that they used to rock.
I was not a fan of. I was watching one of their matches. I was just like, I wasn't a fan. I like the East and West East West Connection.
Did you see them fight? You saw them fight the East West Connection?
Yeah,
Adonis and Jesse.
Adonis and Jesse were great.
Did you see them fight Kurt Hennig and Scott Hall?
Yes,
those are good matches. It's an acquired taste. You don't like them. We don't have to agree on everything. It's fine. Wrestling at the Chase. Yeah, it's true. The St. Louis. Yeah, it's straight. Pastor
knows his shit. We need to get Pastor on the show.
Pastor's been on the show,
but I need to get him again.
Pastor, come on! We'll get a good throwback for him, and we'll have him come on. And I'm happy for Pastor because his lake has got a.
By the way, how's the grandchild?
Yeah, the grandchild.
Let us know how the grandchild's doing.
I saw a picture. His wife posted a picture. Yeah. Baby's beautiful.
Yes.
So God bless you guys.
Congrats again.
Yeah. But yeah, Pastor knows his shit because he's my age. We're the same age almost.
I love Pastor. He's great.
Yeah. So we'll pit Pastor over all the time. So, wait till Pastor gets my hip hop round table coming up this fall.
I still can't believe you guys like Jay-Z over fucking Nas. You're crazy.
New Jay album coming out next week, kid.
Fuck Jay.
Yay, yay. Yeah, baby.
Hoover.
Put the rock up, baby. Yeah. Anyway, Jinder Mahal allows Randy Orton to do all these six spots. Picks his spot and beats him. Love it. You don't love it?
It was okay. I don't know. I feel so conflicted with this guy's champion. I don't know why.
No. You shouldn't.
I like the fact that he's winning in a very cheap manner, which is great. I like the fact that his boys.
Oh, he's holding them now. See? There you go.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Starting them early, baby.
That's good. I do like the fact that they're using the Singh brothers to interfere in his matches, which gives him the advantage over pretty much any guy that goes up against him.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
I don't know what it is. His matches are just boring. He's very, like you said, I think it was last week, you said he's very generic.
Yes. He is. I like his gimmick.
He's good on the mic, though.
He's better on the mic.
He's very good on the mic.
He's better on the mic than he was with the three-man band.
And he has the million-dollar physique.
Yeah, he does.
He's ripped. Ripped to the gills.
Does.
I think he's just as built as Batista was when he first fucking started. Because they had the same similar physique.
Yeah.
And I think he's pretty much the total package. If he could just work on his wrestling just a little bit better,
yeah,
I think he'd be top of the line.
So he'll be champion for a little while. So.
Oh, he will. He'll be champion until maybe like Survivor Series.
I want to see 4th of July when the free agent comes back and see where he goes.
Fuck him.
All right. So we're not excited for... Brizango pins the Ascension. The Ascension was...
What was the point of this match?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was the point? This should have been like...
The Fashion Vice segment was good, though.
Yeah, whatever.
And of course...
Match of the night. Hands down.
Well, was it as better than the tag team match?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Absolutely.
Baron Corbin defeats Styles, Nakamura, Owens, Sami Zayn, and Ziggles to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Let me ask you something. I want to ask this question for you. You can tell me your opinion.
Sure.
Why do you think they put Nakamura out of the match so early? Do you think he's actually hurt, or do you think they just did a part of a storyline?
Part of a storyline. I think Corbin needed something or someone to put himself in that upper echelon of wrestlers now.
Yeah.
That somebody likes him backstage. I told you this.
I don't know whose dick he's sucking, but
someone likes him backstage.
Oh, I'm not chilling. I'm not saying I have a problem with Jinder Mahal as champion. I just think he's very generic in the ring. He needs to work on his style a little bit. That's it. But going back to Baron Corbin, I don't want to know whose dick he's sucking. I don't know if it's Pat Patterson or if it's the guy Dunn who looks like a fucking beaver. I don't know who it is, but they like him a lot. And not for nothing, not to kind of discredit his skills. He's very good in the ring now.
Okay, terrific.
Terrific.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. Someone likes him backstage.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know. Vince likes him.
Or Shane?
Shane likes him. Somebody has to like him enough to give him but you know what, though? And I was telling this to my son, and my son agrees with me. He might be the second guy or the third guy to cash in and not win.
Oh, that would suck.
Listen, they did it with Sandow.
And they did it with, what's his name?
Cena, right?
Cena, yeah.
Right, yeah. Ugh. Listen.
I hope not.
I'm not saying he'll never be champion. I'm just saying that could possibly happen. You know, and they use Nakamura because he's over for Corbin. That's going to set up a feud. And listen, Corbin's that kind of guy that has to wrestle certain guys to look good. Same thing with Jinder Mahal.
No, I think Corbin is much better than Jinder Mahal. In the ring?
Yeah, he's more ruthless.
I think let me tell you something. When he wrestles, you're right. When he wrestles a guy like Styles or Sami Zayn or Ziggler, and by the way, his matches with Ziggler earlier in the year were terrible. But like, his matches with AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Shinsuke were really, really good matches. I think it's because the quality of matches he's been having with these guys earlier this year is what made him get the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
I just think that someone likes him. Someone likes him a lot, and they may ride him,
or he may be riding someone else.
Well, they can't put the belt on him until
he takes it in the ass.
Well.
what are you looking at over there?
Shiny Wizard Tony just texted me. When's Puffy coming back? Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention this, too.
What's that?
The Mae Young tournament. I mentioned Tessa Blanchard, but you know who else is in it? The German chick.
Alpha female. Yeah, she's good, dude.
Thank you, Tony.
She was in TNA with, what's her name, Chris Sabin.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah,
she's... I can't wait for that.
Yeah, she does mixed martial arts, too.
Yes, she does.
She's a beast.
She's awesome. Who do you think is going to win that?
I can care less.
It's going to be good.
I can get
that Mae Young Classic is going to be fucking good.
If you like the skirts wrestling, then this is the,
some of them are good.
If you dig the skirts, if you guys are into the skirts, then this is going to be a good tournament for you.
Women of Honor. I'm surprised they didn't get any. Well, they're probably because they're.
You leave my girl and Women of Honor alone.
Mandy Leon.
Oh, you leave Mandy Leon right where she is right now.
Yo, dude, we embarrassed me and the Rob Mandingo. We embarrassed the shit out of her at that show.
Oh my God, she's beautiful.
We were like Mandy, and she was like, she's trying to shush us. She was great. She's actually really nice. She's really cool.
She's from Brooklyn, that's why.
Is she really from Brooklyn?
Yes, she is. I don't know, but I don't care. She's from...
I think she's from Bay Ridge.
She could be wherever she wants to be from.
Just like our boy Joel Gerner is from Bay Ridge.
Well, well, well.
I love Joel. I love him.
Yeah, man. Let's see.
What's my grade for this pay-per-view?
I give it a solid B minus or a C.
I give it a solid DS for drizzling shit. Okay. It was terrible. Fuck this pay-per-view. Oh, man. I'm going to start acting like Dean Douglas. I give you a grade of S for shits.
Some sad news to report.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Pogo passed away.
God
yeah.
damn it, man.
He was in his 66 years old.
Still young, though.
Yeah, he had some... He died of a cerebral infection after back surgery.
Oh,
Jesus. God. He wrestled in the 70s. He was in the States for a while, but his main thing was
FMW, wasn't it?
A Tushi Onita feud. They had electrifying barbed wire, fucking double hell death matches. They had, you know.
Him and Funk killed each other.
But he also fought, like, Ric Flair, Harley Race, and Terry Funk. So, Mr. Pogo was...
He had skills.
Yes, yes. He wrestled in Big Japan. He wrestled in Wing. So, if you were a fan of, they call it garbage wrestling. If you were a fan of the garbage wrestling, I used to play the tapes to fuck my family used to come over. And waiting for the football games to come on or halftime.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you want to watch some? Want to watch some crazy shit? Nah. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Put it on. And I would put on like these death matches. You know. One year, me and my mom's ex husband, she was married to him at the time. We watched the entire tournament, the IWA King of the Death Match tournament with Terry Funk and Gordy and
Cactus.
Cactus wins the tournament. Yeah, we should do that throwback. That's
if you got the footage.
I own it on DVD.
Oh, then I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it.
I own it. Yeah. So Mr. Pogo passed away.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he fought everybody. Masato Tanaka. He fought the Gladiator, which is Mike Awesome. Mike he awesome. Fought Hayabusa.
He fought Hayabusa. Oh,
he tagged with Hayabusa.
I gotta see that.
Hayabusa, Masato Tanaka, and Hayabusa fought Terry Funk and Mr. Pogo in Exploding Deathmatch. You got to go back and watch some of these things. I mean, I did say double hell pasta. It's just different layers of the match. I didn't. It wasn't. It's what they used it as. It wasn't. I can't make that up. So. So double hell match. Yeah, it was an electrified, exploding barbed wire double hell match.
It's whatever. It's
one time I saw him wrestle in a exploding ring match inside of an Olympic size pool. Like
what?
Swimming, you know, Olympic pool, pools.
Yeah.
The ring was in the pool.
No.
Yeah, and they had a sickle and leather face. It was Mike Awesome, Mr.
Really?
Pogo. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta
check
that out.
Yeah, it's sick. So I have the videotape somewhere, but yeah, if you guys are into that stuff, it's all over the YouTubes now.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we're good with that. Before we get into our go to a break, Choppy wants to talk about Chris Benoit. So, because it was yesterday or the day before?
It was June 22nd, and it was 10 years ago, June 22nd, where the murders started taking place.
Yeah.
He killed Nancy Benoit first.
They were married for 17 years.
They were.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know this, but she had filed for divorce at one point in 2003.
And they reconciled?
And she must, like, reconciled or whatever, but she was playing, because... She was talking about she said that she was being physically abused by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day he killed his son. Third day he killed himself.
Yeah. So. I remember vividly the tribute they were giving him.
Oh man.
This is before they found out that he murdered
Dude, I was so upset that day.
I was going into work. I was working the overnight. I was going into work and I was like sitting at my computer. I'm like, oh man, I can't believe this. Like I didn't get as upset as I did with Eddie. Well, not Eddie, but I was a big Chris Candido guy.
So
when Chris Candido died, I was pretty upset about that. Brian Pillman, I was upset about that. You know,
I was really, really upset about this because this is like at that time.
Yeah,
he was my guy.
Well, I get a call from Tank, right? God rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul. Rest
I get a call from Tank that night, and he was like, "Yo, is this real?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, it's all over the interwebs."
He was supposed to win the ECW World Championship that day, man.
Look at past the road. All these years I've been preaching about just one hell. Now I've got new material. Pastor, you got enough. Listen, you got the Old and New Testament, man. You might want to reserve that.
Yeah.
That you know, I don't even want to add no more to the bottomless pit that is HE double hockey sticks, you know. But I remember Tank calling me. Tank was beside himself. Like, can you believe this? And I'm like, it's all over the internet, bro.
Before we even had any of the evidence, what was your feeling at that time?
Sadness.
I was so upset.
Sadness, because Chris Benoit was... Listen, when I met Chris Benoit in ECW...
Oh, you met him?
Well, it was cool, because he was coming out. It was him, Eddie, and Dean, and they were leaving to go... When you go to the ECW arena, there's like you're under an L.
Okay.
You know, you're under like a drive... You know, a parkway, what they call it. You know, you're under that thing.
An underpass.
Like an underpass, yeah. And all the cars are in this empty lot, and they were going to their car, and like wrestlers, kids was going up to autograph, and We were walking to our car at the same time, and I just walked over to them and shook their hand, and I said, thank you. I said, thank you for everything, man. You guys are fantastic. You're a breath of fresh air, and Eddie was like, that's cool, thank you. Dean was like, thanks a lot. And Chris was like, oh, you know, really appreciate that. And they're not really – Chris is not a really outspoken dude. He didn't cut really good promos, but, like, he was genuine. Like, he genuinely appreciated me walking up to them and shaking their hand and, you know –
Here's my thing. My first time watching Chris Benoit was in 95 when he first joined WCW.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was so good in the ring.
Yeah.
And then he started winning championships like around 99.
Yeah.
He became the WCW Tag Team Champion. In 99, he won all the belts by then. He won all the belts in 99. He had been Tag Champion, Television Champion, U.S. Champion, and then he won the world title. And then he left for WWF. And then he won a bunch of championships in WWF. And I respected this guy's ability in the ring. He was so fucking good. My favorite feud with him was him and Angle. Him and Angle tore it up in 2002, 2001,
yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
That was my favorite feud of all time with this guy. And then and then 2007 rolls around, and to see the news that he did this to his family. And then I think that this very event in wrestling history, is what caused the decline of wrestling right now. I think this little black mark on the wrestling business is what made wrestling what it is today. It's just wrestling is just unwatchable. The WWE especially.
It was tragic, and then after we found out what happened, it was like it was almost like a double shot to the gut.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was.
Like
it really was.
What, really, like this now? Like,
yep.
He killed his fucking wife and kid. Like, really?
Exactly.
It was depressing. Like, I was depressed. I remember I was dating a chick, a long-distance relationship, and I was on my way up to New England, and I was just, like, just bummed. I'm like, I can't believe, like, it's a wrestler. I'm like, it's not just that. It's the, like, the fact that there's so much information now because of the internet, like, he didn't die, and you didn't find out like a year later that he killed his wife. You found out like hours later.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. He would have gone into the Hall of Fame, but I think the business wouldn't be in the shape that it's in right now.
And there was like rumors when the network started up that they were going to cut all his content out. They can't do that.
They can't. He's part of history.
He is part of history. Like,
the only thing they do now is when you want to skip through matches is they won't even put his name on the match.
It's like taking the Ku Klux Klan out of history books.
Yeah.
Or taking the guy who shot Lincoln out of the history books.
You can't do that.
You can't do it.
I mean, when they
shit happen.
When they do these DVDs about other superstars, and like for example, the Randy Orton DVD, the documentary, they didn't mention Randy Orton beating him for the title. He just said he won the title at SummerSlam in 2004, but they didn't mention who he won.
Yeah, and I have the Benoit documentary.
So do I.
Yeah, I bought it like instantaneously.
They had the New Japan matches were on there. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So
when he was
a Wild Pegasus.
Wild Pegasus. Yeah, yeah.
his body of work, and I'm not gonna lie about it, man. We're gonna probably do a throwback down the line of him in Japan or him in. I mean, it's gonna.
It's very hard for me to watch one of his matches.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna be like a thing where we go out of our way for it. But if he's on the card, I'm not gonna showcase Chris Benoit on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. But I am gonna mention him in from time to time because he did contribute to. You know, before he was a maniac, roid rage. You better watch out with those drugs you're taking.
It's not anabolic.
Okay, good. All right, I'm just making sure. But no, seriously, it was tragic, and I don't condone. I'm not going to glorify him at all because you know he killed his wife and his kid, man. You know,
multiple world champion.
Yeah, like well respected.
I heard rumors that he was supposed to get the ECW title when he was in ECW.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, man, it's
not even 2007. I'm talking about back when he first.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
94.
Yeah, I was at the arena every 3 months. So I saw him at least 2-3 times. You know,
I envy you for watching those matches.
It's just sad, but we have to acknowledge it's 10 years later.
Yeah,
you know, and there's no closure for Nancy's family. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no...
I'm pretty sure there's no closure for his family, too.
Yeah, because you know what? And the kid, man. Like, that's a gut shot, man. I'm a parent. You're gonna be a parent. Like, that's a gut shot, bro.
I heard his oldest son is trying to get into the business.
Good for him.
I don't know if it's a good idea, though.
Why not? It's... The kid... Listen, the kid's going in with damaged goods. It's not his fault his dad was a mess up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the kid listen.
Yeah.
If the kid's talented, why not go? Go to Japan. Be a young boy. Cut your teeth. Do the rounds. Go to Japan. Go to Mexico. And then, you know, go to NXT.
No, do Japan and join the Bullet Club.
Everybody's joined the Bullet Club now, but... anyway. But, yeah, man.
It was a sad
situation. But, before we go to break, anything else you want to get? I mean, we covered everything. Are we good? I mean...
Just Rusev is getting U.S. title matches on live events now. So okay. He must be coming back to TV soon.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right. So there you go. The celebration of Shaylin's birthday continues.
Oh, yeah.
We got a nice throwback for you tonight.
Oh, my God. Is it ever? It's great. It's really good.
It is good.
I love it.
It is good. We're going to go to take a break, and then... Oh, yeah, by the way, watch GLOW, man. Seriously.
Yeah, watch that GLOW. On Netflix, man. Netflix is cheap. It's only like $10 a month. Get it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, me and Chop, we're going to take a quick break. We are Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on a rant, and we'll be right back. Right, old Alfred Hayes?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's 4 fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC. Entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
This is Original Globe Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
All right, we're back.
Yes, we are. Pizza and all.
Yeah, choppy stuff in his face. We've got this new pizza from Papa John's. It's a cheeseburger pizza. But it's like they don't use pizza sauce. They use the actual like Big Mac sauce on it. It's pretty good, actually.
Hell yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Yes. Yeah. So nobody liked it but me. I'm glad everybody gets to eat it. I only had two slices. I was full, and then everybody's like, "Oh, the family tried it. Like, I don't like it." I'm like, "You're bugging, communists."
Anyway, I'm a communist. Leave me alone.
You are a communist. Yeah, I was watching your country. Speaking of communists, I don't know what the hell's going on with Russia and the U.S., but I was watching your country in soccer the other day. On Father's Day, I was at a restaurant, a little brunch thing I had. Me and the wife.
They were playing Mexico, man. They were whooping ass.
Dude, I was like, I forgot you guys had a soccer team. Because, like, now, you know, it takes, like, 4 years just to qualify for that World Cup. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully they're, hopefully they'll...
Those motherfuckers have to win. They won the Euro Cup. They got to win this fucking World Cup now.
Well, the more matches they win, the more times they'll get them into the week hole, the tournament for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, which happens every 4 years. So, yeah, man. Oh, but one thing we didn't mention in the first segment of the show, the WWE game, the 2K18 game is coming out. Seth Rollins is on the cover, but the promo was pretty fresh. It's him dressed up in a ski mask. He takes a baseball bat to, like...
Andre the Giant statue.
To everything. He breaks up the million-dollar belt, the old belts. He breaks up the... Brutus Beefcake shears. He just breaks up everything. It's pretty funny.
Very heelish, Seth
Rollins. Yes, yeah, very heelish, Seth Rollins. My kid has the money right now. He's going to pre-order the $100 fucking... He's all about it. He's like, I have enough money. I just got money. Like, he told me today. He's like, I might just go get the whole big thing. I'm like, okay.
God bless him.
Go ahead, man. You do you, player. And I told him he should just do it now, and then by the time it comes out in October, he'll have it, and, you know. So that's his thing, man. It's, he gets it every year now, you know, and then he takes the old version, he goes upstairs and plays them on a PS3, like he's doing today, you know, whatever. But, yeah, he's playing 17 right now. He's a mark. He's playing 2K17 right now. He's just showing Choppy in the break. Look, there's a glitch. There's a glitch, Choppy.
There's a glitch with Shinsuke's Kinshasa. How do you say his finishing move?
The Kinshasa.
In my country, Kinshasa means aguardiente.
It means wet dog.
It means aguardiente. It means it's a liquor.
Oh,
Kinshasa. Put that shit in espressos. It makes you nice and toasty.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, Beach Blast 92.
Yeah, what, you want to get into this? You ready?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Anything else before we do it?
No, let's do it.
All right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Mobile, Alabama.
This was a hot crowd.
June 20th, 1992. The attendance was 5,000.
It was a hot crowd, though.
But according to Tony Schiavone, it was sold out.
You lying sack of shit.
Yeah. So, WCW needed a summer pay-per-view. So, they needed something more than the Great American Bash. So, at this time, you're about a year into the actual breaking away from the NWA. There was still remnants of the NWA in WCW, like the tag title. We'll talk about that in a little while. And the international belt and all the shit, you know, all of the nonsense. But this was this Jesse Ventura's first? I don't think it was his first, right?
I don't think so, no.
But he was new to WCW.
But man, he is so good with any fucking play-by-play guy.
Yeah, Jesse is like the generic Lego piece that you step on in your kid's room. Like, no matter where you get it, it'll fit. You know, it's the only, like, it's, you know, you step on it, you're annoyed, but when you pick it up, it's like, okay, well, I bought this in the dollar store, but it'll fit on my kid's Legos. That's Jesse. Jesse's interchangeable. He fits everywhere. He's that kind of guy.
He was great with Gorilla. He was good with Vince.
With Vince, yeah.
He was good with Tony Schiavone. And he's also good with JR. Yeah. He's just good.
He didn't do a lot of house shows.
No.
When I was going and with the MSG Network, he didn't do a lot of house shows. So, but this particular, and I, when I posted the throwback, which I haven't been doing in a while, because you know what, I want a surprise sometimes. Just want to, you know, and I don't get around to it. So, you know, if Chop doesn't do it, I don't do it. You'll just get it on Friday. So it really doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But everybody chimed in. Double A, yeah, man. Champion.
Double A was very excited.
He's like, this is probably one of the best pay per views. He's the first pay per view he bought was his own money.
Wow.
And he was also fucking probably 10 years old too at the time. But
how old was I?
How old were you? I think you and him are the same age.
I was 8.
I think he was 8 or 10 too. So, you know, I think, you know, when you look back at it, it was a really solid card up and down. Even like the mid card shit was good.
I liked what Taylor made with fucking
yeah, with Ron Simmons.
Good.
And this was Ron Simmons' push. He was going to be world champion very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Your opening match was the light. Well, let's before we do this. Let's get into Eric Bischoff, Tony Schiavone, and Cowboy Bill Watts wearing the fanny pack. Forgot the fanny packs.
He did. All he did was the Zubaz, and he was great.
So Bill Watts was booking, and historically, no one liked him.
Nobody.
No one liked him. Even ECW Brass, the WCW Brass, didn't like him.
Yeah, the higher-ups did not.
They hired him, and they were like, what the fuck did we do?
He was just...
He was a hardcore, like, old-school promoter. Set in his ways, didn't like a lot of, you know, crazy shit, didn't like the high spots, so he put legitimately put the DQ on the top rope thing, which was stupid.
Because you had guys like fucking Flying Brian in the company, and you're going to take away the top rope from them? Come on.
Well, speaking of Flying Brian, it's a good segue, my partner. Let's get into the light heavyweight title.
Great fucking match.
Him and Scotty Flamingo.
A.K.A. Raven.
A.K.A. Scott Levy, A.K.A. Johnny Polo.
Yep, Johnny Polo from WWF.
This was a good match.
It was very good.
You know, the chin locks and the rest holds, you know, sometimes
they
whatever.
They had to put that in there, man.
Yeah, it was an 18-minute match.
It was long, but it was good. But the thing is, they had to put those chin locks in there because you can't fucking fly.
And I like they put the bad guy over.
Yes, I was actually, you know what? I completely forgot that he won the strap.
Yeah.
And it was good.
It was a good match. I enjoyed that a lot, you know?
The best part of the match is when Brian Pillman jumps over the top rope, misses Scotty, and lands face first right on the ramp.
He face plants.
It was good.
And there's no padding.
Nope, none whatsoever.
And Jesse makes that known during,
throughout the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah, especially during the Cactus match with Sting.
Yes.
And we'll get into that in a little while, but...
Sting.
That's right. That never gets old.
Never.
And then we start the Miss WCW bikini contest.
Now let me tell you something. Now I know why you had such a crush on Missy Hyatt.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
Right.
God damn.
So we start the bikini contest, Medusa versus Missy Hyatt. Johnny B. Badd is the MC, which makes perfect sense. Ventura flat out asks if he likes women.
Which I thought was hysterical, man.
Says he goes, I can't tell.
Oh,
they're three rounds, evening gown, swimsuit bikini, and natural bikinis, only be compromised by the third of the bikini, which is the itsy bitsy teeny weeny bikini. Mero is somewhat annoying, but he's so pretty, so he gets
so pretty.
I'm so pretty.
Hello,
Frisco. How'd you like the chicken and the noodles? You know, you had to call the 1-800-909-9900, 1-900, and if you watch the network, it shows you this number is no longer in service.
I want to know if it really is in service, somebody else is using it.
I don't know, but it's rather brilliant because Missy is in white and looks like she's decent, and she's still a whore, but she looks decent.
So hot, dude.
I know she was hot, I told you. Medusa comes out in a wedding dress, complete with the veil, you know?
Yeah, I saw that. She was fugly, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well...
I'm sorry.
She had a butterface. Everything was cute butterface.
I'm sorry, Medusa Michelli, but you were not a pretty woman. But you have a rocking body.
She had a butterface. Yep. Everything was hot butterface. The tailor-made man against Ron Simmons.
Dude, was it Terry Taylor was in phenomenal shape in this match. He had a six-pack and everything.
He was the man of the 90s.
Dude, he was great.
So Simmons is over, as he would. Like I said, Simmons was crazy over... He was on his way to becoming champion.
Absolutely.
Jesse at one point asks, why is he getting the key to the city? He's got a great point. The match, I don't think the match was like boring. It was
good.
It was solid.
It was a good match. I enjoyed it.
You know, Terry Taylor trying to wear down the big man, just didn't have enough momentum in a company to win that kind of caliber of a match. This was a good, put it this way. If you're going to push a guy like Ron Simmons, you throw a guy like Terry Taylor at him. Because Terry Taylor can wrestle.
Of course.
You know? It makes perfect sense.
This man had went through almost every gimmick in the book.
Yeah, correct.
He went through the Red Rooster, Terrence Taylor, Taylor Made Man.
But that power slam is pretty...
It was nice, that power slam. When did he start using the Dominator? Only in WWF?
I don't know. I think he used it with Doom. I'm not sure. I forgot. That's a good question.
Because I think he used it in ECW once. Yeah. But I wasn't sure if he did it in WCW. Anyways.
Good match, though.
It was very good. I enjoyed it.
How about Greg Valentine versus the Rookie?
This was good. This was really good. I'm surprised that Buff Bagwell actually lost.
The crowd not into it, though. The wrestling is okay.
But I liked it.
It's Greg Valentine and Marcus Bagwell on a pay-per-view. It was weird. Like, it was... First of all, Greg Valentine was one of those guys... That it was weird seeing him anywhere else but WWF. Now, I was too young to appreciate him when in his heyday. I had to go back and see him, like, 83, 84, yeah. when he was in NWA. He was U.S. champ. He was tag champ with Ric Flair.
He was.
You know, and, again, well-traveled, second generation. Like, I love Greg Valentine. I always liked him. I was a big fan of him. And then by the time I got to him as a fan... Him and Santana were fucking killing each other for the IC title.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Santana was fighting everybody. He fought Morocco. He fought Valentine. He fought Piper. He fought everybody. That was a good, you know, and then, of course, we know what happens after that. But
even though Greg Valentine was never a world champion, he won a lot of straps.
He was an NWA staple.
Yeah.
In the territory days.
Oh, yeah.
In Georgia also.
Was he in Pacific Northwest?
He might have been.
Because he's from Seattle. I want to know if he was with Don Owens.
He might have been. I have to look that up. That's a good question. It probably was. Back then, you did make your way through all the territories.
Yeah.
Even if you were NWA champ. Like, those guys defended their belts everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
But I enjoyed the match. I mean, he slapped on the figure four, and it was apparent. It was over.
Yeah. And Bagwell was, like, green at this point.
Super young. He must have been, like, 21 years old.
Yeah, he was green at this point. he was the, he's the rookie of the year. Yeah, we know he's the rookie of the year. We know. Who cares? I was never a big Bagwell fan. Never was.
I don't think I was either. He was just there.
Yeah, American males. American
But he was
males.
A five-time tag team champion with WCW.
He was. Because he was one of those guys. He was like the Billy Gunn of WCW.
But he was, Billy Gunn was much better.
Of course. I'm just saying, like, he was a mainstay. Like, he had the different characters, and, you know, Billy Gunn was the rockabilly, and he was fucking the smoking pistol. What was the smoking guns? I'm thinking of Young Pistols.
Oh, rockabilly.
Rockabilly. Christ, help me.
And Mr. S.
Oh, Mr. S, see? Yeah, then you had...
And the one.
And then the one. But then you had Buff Bagwell, Marcus Bagwell, Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Buff Daddy.
Buff Daddy, Vicious and Delicious.
Remember Vicious and... Scott Norton was great.
Scott Flash Norton.
I love Scotty.
Former IWGP champ.
Oh, so good.
This next match gets a lot of hype. I've talked about this with, I think, all three of my co-hosts. This is Cactus Jack and you know who.
Steve.
Falls Count Anywhere. Sting was world champion at this point. The belt wasn't up, which was weird.
I wish the belt was on the line. It would have meant more to me if that was on the line. But the match was still good.
Yeah. No, the match is good. This match did a couple of things for these guys. It gave Sting a little more credibility in terms of
can be tough,
right? And it gave Cactus. It solidified Cactus as a tough guy.
Yeah.
Cactus was still, you know, getting that, wasn't passing the mid-card. This is before Japan. This is before ECW and all this other shit. But this did wonders for both guys, you know? So it was the coming out party of Cactus Jack, yeah. I think, you know? You know, but Cactus Jack does the thing, waits for him on the ramp, you know, the whole... Fonzie's the referee.
I saw that. Fonzie was the ref.
Okay, yep. I don't know if you caught that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you caught that. Cactus hurts his knee on the concrete. Jesse makes it known that, you know, the sunset flip that he did was awesome, you know, but it's all the spots were good, man.
Let me ask you something. You're a Brody guy.
Yeah.
Did you ever think he was a proper replacement for Brody?
You see, but Bruiser Brody didn't sell like Cactus sold.
Okay.
Like, Brody would come into a territory like, all right, yeah, you know what, there are nights where, you know what, I don't feel like losing tonight.
Yeah, I know, he was like that.
He was an asshole. Did he replace Brody?
In terms of a wild man, because Brody was a wild man.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he did as a wild man, but Cactus was more well-rounded than Brody. Brody was just straight in your face and didn't really care about, you know, where he was at the time. Like... He wasn't really a champion a lot because, you know, he'd walk into a territory like, all right, I'm going to wrestle. Like, he wrestled Ric Flair. I just watched that recently.
How was it?
It was good. He did sell for Ric Flair.
Okay.
You know, and it was like, okay, that was weird. Like, Flair working the knee, Flair working the arm, Flair being Flair, and Brody was like, okay, yeah. Brody picked his spots, but he didn't pick enough spots. Like, he should have been something, and I think...
He was a journeyman.
He was, in essence. And he was so good at what he did that he was booked all the time.
But he's a Puerto Rico guy, though.
He was not. He was really a Texas guy before Japan.
He was a Japan guy.
He's a Japan guy, but he was really a Texas guy. Like, he wrestled with, you know, World Class and NWA, Texas, and all this other shit.
You know what's scary to me, though? Is how much Luke Harper looks exactly like him.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, except he can't wrestle like him.
And funny enough, His old ring name is Brody Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, well, that's because he looks like him.
Exactly.
You know, imitation, best form of flattery. However, Sting Cactus was a good match. Didn't understand why the belt wasn't put up. Yeah, we just said that.
Yeah.
But, it was fun. You know, it was fun. I mean, it was just 12 minutes of just... awesomeness.
Just kicking the shit out of
each other. Kicking the shit out of each other. Sting hung with him, man.
Yeah, like, man.
I was like, this is so good. And they put the scorpion on him outside the ring.
You know what it is about Sting, though? I feel like he doesn't get enough dues for the matches that he put on with people. Like, his matches with Flair were great. His matches with Steve Austin were good. His matches with Vader were very good. His matches with Luger were good.
The only time I really saw like a bad Sting match is when he was in TNA.
That's because he was in his 50s already.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was age. It wasn't like he was, you know, but...
He wasn't the surfer Sting.
I will never say anything bad about Sting. I love Sting.
Yeah, Sting was great.
I love Sting. Sting was...
I think he was... If he had gone to WWF early on in his career, he would have been money.
He was their Hulk Hogan.
I know.
And they kept him paid. So it wasn't like a thing where he wasn't like... First of all, Sting had his bread buttered. Okay, and he said that. He's like, listen, they paid me well, and I just didn't, you know, he was comfortable. He was comfortable in the schedule. He was comfortable with the booking. He was comfortable. The only time that was compromised was in 94 when You Know Who came over. It was like the whole world changed. Like, Hogan was a trendsetter. Yeah. So when Hogan goes to WCW, the entire Fed is upside down. Like, he brings baggage with him. He brings his friends with him. He brings a different booking style. Kevin Sullivan, like, had to book differently with him. Like, the world changed.
If memory serves me right, he brought Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, he brought Jimmy Hart, the Nasty Boys, Shark.
Booty Man,
yeah. He brought John Tenta. He brought Ed Leslie. He brought all those guys. He brought the Nasty
Zodiac.
Yes, no. That fucking idiot.
What, that fucking Jamook?
Kamala.
Oh, Kamala.
He brought Kamala. Did
they bring in Kimchi for Kamala?
No, they didn't.
Oh, Kimchi.
And it was Kimchi or Friday. That was the two handles of Kamala back in the day. A lot of guys had Kamala, though, as a handler. But anyway... It was weird, you know, that whole thing was, but still, get back to Sting. I think, you know, Sting conformed to an extent, and then when the heel turn happened, he needed something else. So the whole Crow thing was popular, and that's what, you know.
Let me tell you something, when he was the Crow Sting, I was emotionally invested in that character.
A lot of you kids were up.
Harry was into it.
You guys are all the same age. I mean,
Harry's like, I think he's 6 years younger than me, I believe.
Yeah, but you guys are all in that same age bracket.
Oh, dude.
Everybody, because it was a thing. It was a thing. It was, you know, fucking, the Crow was in.
And keep in mind, the Crow... movie had came out in 94.
Yep.
And they started this whole Crow gimmick by 96, so 2 years later.
Yeah.
I think the reason WCW never got sued is because it was a parody of the Crow.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yep.
He nailed that gimmick to a T. He didn't talk for two fucking years.
Didn't have to.
It was so good.
Didn't have to.
I love Sting.
Yeah, me too. I have nothing bad to say about Stinger. But this match was so good, man.
I enjoyed it a lot.
This match was really good. It's on the DVD. When you buy the Sting DVD, it's really good. So
I think I have the Sting DVD. I have it.
Yeah, I have it too.
Yeah,
I have it. It's packed away already. It's in the other new place. Let's see. Now the next match is the Iron Man match.
Match of the night.
Now another title. Another title that's not up.
Yeah, I didn't get that. It was weird. Why?
It's that Bill Watts shit, man. It was stupid.
First off, I didn't understand the placement of the matches in this pay-per-view, but not to say the matches were bad. They were good matches. Why wasn't Cactus and Sting main eventing this?
I don't know.
Why wasn't, like, Rude and Ricky Steamboat main eventing this?
Bill Watts.
Why?
Bill Watts.
I mean, I understand that Dr. Death and Gordy are your boys.
Yeah.
They were your boys.
The MVC, baby.
Those guys, I understand that, but they should not have been the main event.
Well, that's fair. It's a fair assessment, Chops. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, you know, I it's just the booking style. It's Bill Watts. And you could, you know, but this match was fantastic.
And it's my favorite spot of the match.
Which was your favorite spot? The gut buster?
The diving knee drop from the top from Rick Rude.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, man. He did it perfectly, too.
Yo, Rick does some... He did a high spot in the bash, too, in a six-man.
Did he really?
Yeah, like a flying knee. He hit fucking Barry Windham with it. Rick Rude was fantastic.
I love Rick Rude.
Yeah. At one point, they get a Boston Crab. You know, Steamboat is mixing it up. You know, it was tied up. Well, we can go into it. Like, yeah. Rude gets shot to the face with a roll-up, goes up 1-0, right? Follows up with Rude Awakening, it's 2-0.
Dan does the diving knee drop, gets disqualified, now it's 2-1.
2-1, right.
Then he did, and then I think he did, what did he do after that? Did he do a pin right after the knee drop?
No, no. What happened was, too, Rick did a good job of calling spots to Steamboat, actually. Yeah. I thought so, anyway. Because it looked like he was tired and resting, and he's back up, and Rude hits a fucking pile driver.
Yes, that's what it was.
He is a pile driver for 2. Steamboat counters with a tombstone by climbing up Rude and getting on his own tombstone, making it 3-2.
Which was cool.
Right. Then we actually have a debate.
I'm sorry. Look who's in the chat.
Oh, look who it is.
The German suplex.
Oh, boy.
Why, thank you, sir.
Oh, boy. Should we give him a sound?
Give him
something?
Yeah, give him something.
Oh, my God! There you go. Get a Joey Styles. So it goes up. Yeah, so now Steamboat gets an awesome bridge for a backslide for the pin.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know?
The match was so fucking good.
And then Rude goes right back. Like, Rude was relentless, dude.
Yes.
He beat the snot out of Ricky Steamboat. Beat the snot out of Steamboat. Steamboat hits his own Rude. Hits a Rude Awakening. And with difference between, you know, Rude gets smart, jumps on Steamboat for a sleeper now. The sleeper hold, you know, every time Steamboat reached for the ropes, Rude would kick him.
Yeah.
And it was, I thought Steamboat was going out. But I know it didn't last because it was on too long for Steamboat not to fucking kick out of it.
Yeah.
You know? So what happened was, goes for a sleeper, Steamboat gets the turnbuckle shot, and then, you know, he runs up and then lands on him for the pin, basically. So now there's 3 minutes left, and, you know, after the pin, there was like 30 seconds, and then like a minute and 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, Rude's going for these fucking clothesline pin. And then you hear Jesse go, why don't he just hit the Rude Awakening?
Exactly.
He had Steamboat, first of all, at this point, he hit Steamboat with like three or four clotheslines, then a body slam, and kept going for a pin. You could have, after that second clothesline, you could have went for a Rude Awakening and then pinned him, but he didn't pin him, which is weird to me, you know? So.
Match was good anyways.
The match was good. Steamboat wins. Gets attacked by Cactus afterwards.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because Paulie threatened him. You're not going to get another title match or whatever.
I'm surprised they never put Cactus in the Dangerous Alliance. He was their hired gun.
Yeah. Here's the filler match, which was
the six man?
Anderson, Eaton, and Austin taking on Dustin Rhodes, Koloff, and Wyndham. You know?
It wasn't bad.
Well, I didn't say it was bad.
It wasn't a bad match.
Ollie was the referee.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't care for Ollie too much.
Nobody does, really.
I thought Steve Austin was great in this.
Yeah, he was TV champ.
Yep, he was great.
Dangerous Alliance.
Beautiful Blobby was great. He didn't have the mullet. He didn't have the mullet, but he was still good.
Shout out to Mega Powers. Mega Powers gave him that name.
Beautiful Blobby.
Beautiful Blobby.
But he was in good shape this match.
And first of all, I don't know, and I told Dave this too back in the day, I don't know. How do you even, I guess, you know, Dave is Dave.
Yeah.
But I don't care how big, beautiful Bobby was, that dude was awesome.
Great in the ring.
He's a great ring.
Shit talker, but he was great in the ring. I don't think he ever talked.
This was all Bill Watts, man. This was all Bill Watts.
Arn Anderson made this match for me, too.
Ugh. Yeah, Arn, here's the payoff. Arn comes off the top rope like a you know, and then that's the DQ.
Yeah, Ole actually DQs him.
Right,
like,
and that was the story. And everybody's like, oh, Ole Anderson... DQ'd his cousin.
Yeah.
You know.
Former tag team champions. I mean, this guy was just like, you know, fuck you. You're getting disqualified for going off the top. It was great. I loved it.
So before we get into the NWA, WCW bullshit with the tag team, they had a tournament. Gordy and Williams won it because they were the best team in the fucking world. And the NWA made sure you knew that, you know. Yeah. But the Steiner brothers were the WCW champions. And they were the best in the world. So
can I just say something about this?
Well,
when you continue.
Well, I want to get into the finish of the what do you call it? The fucking bikini contest.
Oh yeah. Jesse goes to the
Johnny B. Badd looks like a gymnast on shore leave. Yeah. He won't answer Jesse's question at all if he likes girls or not. Medusa's wearing a bikini with chaps.
Yeah.
Okay. Stupid, but Medusa. And Missy had already been. Missy's. Her gear was stolen.
Supposedly.
Allegedly. So she steals Jesse Ventura's headbands.
And wears those out.
And wears those as the bikini. And.
Oh, also, people, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but keep in mind that Medusa was winning in the voting. Because she was 51%
to 49. 51
to
49.
She was winning
with the 900, 909, 9900
yep.
gimmick. So you know, it is what it is.
And then at the end of the night, Tony Schiavone said he announced to the crowd that you would find out who'd won the contest on Monday,
they were doing a Clash of the Champions.
Yes, that's what it was.
They're doing Clash of the Champions the following night, so
Main event time. Now, people, you want to talk about Suplex City?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar may be the third mayor of Suplex City. But let me tell you something. Who built Suplex City? The Steiner Brothers.
Steiner Brothers.
Built that motherfucker. The Steiner Brothers built it.
They were the Pittsburgh of Suplex City.
Yes.
Steel.
They built it. Taz was the first mayor. Kurt Angle, second mayor, and then you got your Lesnar as your third mayor of Suplex City. These guys fucking destroyed everybody.
So the tag team title tournament started the next day. It means nothing since they were unified as soon as the tournament ended.
Yeah.
And the WCW belt would stay because the NWA was breaking away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The NWA decided to go back and erase all title reigns that had WCW involved. So the Rock and Roll Express were officially the first champions getting the belts in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, they went with two old guys, but who cares? You know, but, you know, there's one problem, though, and Choppy said it. It was main eventing a major pay-per-view, instead of Sting and Cactus over Ruben Steamboat.
Yeah.
But these two are the best tag teams in the world. It's a dream matchup. Now, I did this with Scott. We did the whole docking. This was a two-week span, okay? So if you want to go back and listen to that, it's a really good episode.
Doc and Gordy.
If you want to go back and listen to that episode, it was really good. It was actually one of my favorite episodes of all time.
By the way, I want to commend Terry Gordy in this match. He was in phenomenal shape.
He was fucking beast.
Dude, he lost a lot of weight in this match. For this match, he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. As much as the Steiners were good, Gordy and Williams cannot wrestle anyone at this point. They when they went to Japan, they solidified themselves as probably the best tag team in the world at that point. Now, it's debatable because people back in the day, people didn't really watch Japan. They didn't have the access to it. Like
it was all tape trading.
Yeah, it was all tape trading. But the Steiners were the team in the States. They went to Japan. They did the Road Warrior route. They went all over the world. They won the belts. They were very decorated, but this was Doc and Gordy. And, you know, it was, you know, the Miracle Violence Connection, which they weren't called here, but they were the Miracle Violence Connection. You know, it was a half-hour match. It was a great match.
Dude, they fucking... It was so stiff, this match.
It was probably... It's probably one of my favorite matches of all time.
Really?
Yeah, it's got to be top 10 or top 20. I mean, it was that good, dude.
I enjoyed it, too.
Like, it was that good. And I understand where Bill Watts was. Bill Watts opened with a title match, finished with a title match. That's the only logic I got out of Bill Watts not putting Sting and Cactus or Rude and Steamboat in that. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I would have put one of those two matches. This would have been the setup.
Yes.
But it wasn't.
I hated the ending of this match, though.
The Frankensteiner?
No, it was the time limit draw.
Oh, time limit draw, right. I thought you meant the end of the match. It's the Frankensteiner.
Time limit draw.
30 minutes are up.
It should not have been a time limit draw. One team should have won. What do you think?
I thought the Steiner should have lost.
Exactly.
It would have made a good story. Not because I like Doc and Gordy better than the Steiners.
The story of the match made sense because they kept working on Steiner's knee, Scott Steiner's knee.
Yes.
And it should have been like, all right, Scott Steiner's out of the match for the whole match, and Rick has to do the whole thing by himself. And they would just killed Rick Steiner right there, and they would have got the belts.
It was so good. Like, I watched it again today.
Ugh.
I watched it again today. I was like,
it was good.
You know, and
those suplexes they were fucking throwing, man.
Stiff, man. And the Steiner. Oof. And Scotty was like on point too. And And Doc the Death doesn't get enough credit
for, he doesn't.
For taking bumps.
He could bump, dude.
He got tossed around at one point by Scott Steiner. There was one back body drop that Scotty threw. You saw it, like, right?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he caught like 6 or 8 feet in the air, and I was like, holy shit, man. Doc is like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And Scotty was tossing him like a wet dog.
What about Rick? The dog-faced gremlin. Yeah, he was fucking killing them.
He's got, I shouldn't even say the word, but he's got that strength. You know, the.
Oh, what strength are you talking about? Please tell me. I can't say the word, but I said it before. But
what?
Hey, she's retarded.
She ain't retarded. She's shy. You know.
I'll tell you what to do. Take her to the zoo. I hear retards like the zoo.
Yeah, Scott had. I mean, Rick had that strength. Like he was just.
He had retard strength.
He picked like he would. First of all, Rick Steiner was infamous. He's another guy who was reckless in the ring a lot of times.
He was. He would take liberties.
Yes. With young guys, too. He beat piss out of them. But he tossed Doc and Gordy around at one point. Like, it was... And, again...
And there were times that you could... You know how when they do suplexes, obviously the guy that's receiving it has to jump a little bit. So that way he could take the bump.
Right.
There were times that Rick would just pick the guys up and throw them with his own strength. He was that fucking strong.
Dude, it was madness.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And it was... These guys could have had, like, a whole program.
Yes, I agree.
If Doc and Gordy would have stayed in the States, they would have been champions for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have built them up to, like, Starcade and, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, that might be my fantasy warfare is to finish. One of my fantasy warfares for us is to finish the Doc and Gordy feud against the Steiner brothers. I think it was... wasn't done properly because those guys didn't want to stay in the States. And that pissed me off because...
their bread and butter was Japan, dude.
Right, but you know, it was... You know, back then, when I wasn't very well-versed in Japan, the culture or the wrestling, I didn't understand why they didn't stay. Like, come on, man. Even back then, I knew they were tough. Like, these guys are awesome. And PWI, they're like, yo, they're from Japan. It was a big deal. Like,
it was.
I remember the tournament with when they jumped the Mexican team. Where there's a bunch of Puerto. Let me play this promo already, but let me just play it again because it's funny. It's funny as hell, actually. Doc and Gordy are in a tournament, and they jump the Mexican team, and they call them Puerto Ricans. Hold on a second. Williams and Gordy.
There it is.
Yeah, 1 second. The promo. I want to get the promo. When they won the titles, the WCW titles. Let's see. 1 second. Puerto Ricans. P-U-E-R-T-O. It's fucking funny as hell, though. Someone better call 911. There it is. Clash of the Champions. This is the promo from the next night.
Play it.
It's fucking solid. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Making their way now.
Hold on just a second. There has been a bad wreck. And I mean there has been a bad wreck. There's people laying all around outside.
What kind of a wreck? What are you talking
about? I'm talking about a Puerto Rican wreck. There's been a arm wrapped around their head. I'm talking about some people hurt, and we was just like 911. We was the first ones on the scene, right?
What did you see?
Well, I'll tell you something. Some guy come running in, screaming, "Doctor, doctor! Is there a doctor in the house?" And I jumped up and said, "Yes, we have a doctor in the house. Call 911. 111, huh? What do you got there, buddy?" "No, you know something I hear? If there's no Puerto Ricans to wrestle..." "What does that mean, Doc?" "That the Steiners have to go against us." "That's right. That's right. The Steiners. Hey, just what the world's been waiting on. The Steiners will have to face Williams and Gordon."
All right, as I said, we don't know
exactly. That was great.
You know how Doc Death got his nickname?
It was in high school. Football.
They mentioned it. They mentioned he just beat up people.
Just for the hell of it.
Just for the hell of it.
It was in ninth grade, supposedly. And you know what's sad? is that both those motherfuckers are gone.
You look at that pay-per-view, and who's dead?
Let me see.
Rick Rude?
Rude?
Dead. Doc and Gordy?
Dead.
Dead.
Pillman?
Pillman, dead. Let's see who else is in a pay-per-view. I think everybody else is alive. Yeah, I think everybody else is alive.
Yeah.
Just sad.
Four guys.
Just sad.
And it's all due to... Well, not... Dr. Death was due to cancer. Yeah, it wasn't due to anything else. But a lot of those guys is all due either alcohol or drugs.
My heart is broken because all my heroes, most of my heroes are dead now.
Yeah.
You know.
Dusty.
Dusty's dead. Pipe is dead. Doc and Gordy are dead. You know, like those are my guys, you know.
You still have Flair.
I still have Flair.
You still got that beacon of light.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sad because I'm not that old, and they weren't that old either. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dusty got sick. I mean, Dusty was pushing, like, you know, him and Piper were pushing, like, you know, retirement age, but still, like,
that's another guy.
When you look back, you're like, Jesus Christ, damn, man. It's so sad that those guys are not here anymore, you know? And, again... And I'm going to just emphasize this again. If Doc and Gordy would have stayed in the States, they would beat everybody. And I want somebody to debate me on that. The only team that could beat them at that point in the world was the Steiner brothers. There was no other team in the States that were better than them at that point.
Wait, are we talking about...
In 92.
Oh, okay, 92. If we're talking about... Are we talking about charisma?
I'm talking about... Talent. I'm talking about across the board. Promo, talent, style.
Because in 92, LOD had just broken up.
Okay.
No, they hadn't broken up. I think it broke up after SummerSlam 92.
Okay.
And this was only in June, so maybe the Steiner. Maybe the LOD. That would have been a good match.
Good match, but I think, I don't know if, see, as much as Hawk and Animal, my favorite tag team, Doc and Gordy are right there with them. Up there with the Midnight Express and, you know.
I don't have a favorite tag team. Did I ever tell you that? So many good tag teams out there.
We need to rank them and do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I agree.
But Doc and Gordy, if they would have stayed in the States, there was nobody in 1992 that can beat them. I'm sorry. They were that good.
I think Doink and Dink could have done it. I'm joking. Oh, man.
No. I want anybody to debate me on that. Go back in 1992. Pull up NWA. Pull up WWF. Pull up AWA. Pull up whatever Fed that was in at that time. And you tell me who at that time could beat Doc and Gordy in the States, except for the Steiner brothers. And I'll tell you you're
the
wrong.
Nasty Boys.
Nasty Boys would definitely not beat Doc and Gordy. Brian Knobs would get his fat ass tossed everywhere.
Absolutely not. Terry Gordy would get that pit stop.
Yo, I could see Dr. Death taking Brian Jerry Sags and clotheslining his head off in the mohawk, attaching.
Let me see another tactic. Let me try to think here. In 92?
Go ahead, dude. 92, I dare you to debate me on
Samoan this. Samoan SWAT team.
No way.
The head shrinkers.
No way. They would give him a fight, but they wouldn't beat him. The Freebirds wouldn't beat him.
The Freebirds were already gone.
Well, the Freebirds were...
They're gone.
They were gone, right, at that point?
Yeah, they're done.
Right. And the last incarnation of them
Oh,
was...
I got a team for you.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no, not in 92. Sorry, I was thinking about Doom.
No. Well, if they were still around...
Yeah, man.
If they were still that around, that would have been a great match. The Fantasy Warfare, I'm telling you. You could do... You know, you could put... Listen...
Okay, the Steiner Brothers would be the only team that you could
that
see.
That can beat them, right, yeah. At that point, you know?
And then in 93, they would leave for greener pastures to the WWF.
Please. Well, yeah, the Steiners did. Yeah.
The Steiners. And then do you ever see that match with the Steiner brothers and the Hart brothers?
Yeah.
It's really good.
No, my favorite Steiner match in WWF was them and the head shrinkers open up WrestleMania 99. That was Jim Ross's first one, the first outdoor one. Your man Macho was in doing commentary.
Oh, yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. Look at this prima donna.
Look at this prima donna, yeah. I'm going to get my yam bag and slap it across your face, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then the beat goes on.
The cream of the crop.
Cream and the beat goes on. I love that because the beat goes on.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
That's right. Anyway, I think that's it, partner.
Yes, sir.
I have nothing else for you, animals.
You fucking farm animals. All right, play my throwback that I...
Yeah, well, we'll do that in a second.
Yeah.
So we're back next week, same time, same bat channel. And yep. Then after that, I think, is the 4th of July week.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. But you'll have a new episode of Termical Throwbacks anyway, so...
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to leave you empty-handed. But next week we'll come back with something fresh for you. We always do. I don't know if there'll be as much news as there was this week.
Oh, we forgot to mention one more thing.
Go ahead.
Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, come back to SmackDown.
NXT.
Oh, he's done with SmackDown. He's going to NXT.
And you know who else got signed?
Who?
Bobby Fish.
Is that confirmed?
It's confirmed. NXT.
Wow. Bobby Fish is in NXT?
Yeah.
That means Kyle O'Reilly is going to go solo and probably evolve and all that.
I think he's going to end up in NXT himself, Kyle O'Reilly. And then sooner or later, you'll see Adam Cole.
Yeah, I want to see Red Dragon and Adam Cole in NXT.
Oof!
Then people could stop pissing him on about everybody getting bumped up, and you get some real talent down there, man.
I don't even consider NXT developmental anymore, man. They got a solid roster.
It's their own fed.
That's why I can't associate NXT with WWE. I'm sorry. And that's the reason why Triple H gets so fed up with Vince's ideas, because Triple H produces stars, and then Vince takes these motherfuckers and turns it into drizzling shit. He gives them chicken salad, and Vince turns it into chicken shit.
Yeah, well.
And here's my other thing. Why does Vince... Okay, Vince says he's catering to the younger crowd, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah.
It's for the younger crowd. Then why the fuck are you signing Shinsuke Nakamura? Why are you signing these guys that... we're fans of. Why? Because you want to keep us? Not with these shitty fucking storylines. Fuck that.
Dude, that's not Vince, man. That's Triple H.
Bullshit. No way, dude. Look, I still think Vince has a full grasp and control of that company, and it's still not Triple H's yet.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Shaylin. It's definitely a separate entity. I totally agree.
Look what Tony just texted me.
Yeah! What is... Let me see that. What is,
he texted me with lots of hotness. Hell's Kitchen tonight.
Oh, boy.
Some pride. There's a pride. In New York, we have the pride parade every June.
Oh, that's this weekend?
It's just this Sunday,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, you know.
Hello.
Hello, Frisco. How'd you like the chicken and the noodles?
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, yeah. Me and Nick are agreeing a lot with NXT.
The hell with him.
Oh, you hear that, Nick? He says to hell with you.
Nick just posted the 1-900-909-9900 on the Facha de Libre.
Oh, the Facha de Libre.
Yeah.
Facha Sassoon.
What's wrong with you?
I'm retarded.
You sick freak.
I'm a retarded person.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Oh, here we go.
Bobby Fish has signed with NXT.
Boom.
And he made his debut against Aleister Black.
Boom.
That's your boy.
I know. Can you imagine how good that match must have been?
And I won't find a reason. I love that song. I like when the kid sings it.
Oh, could you imagine if Kyle O'Reilly...
If they get Red Dragon...
It's over.
It's over.
The AOP are losing the straps. The Goon Squad is losing the fucking straps.
Goon Squad might be dropping it to the Fish.
And then they go to the main roster.
Yeah.
And join Roman Reigns as the new Shield.
Roman Reigns. Purple Reigns. Shout out to Dr. Doom, by the way.
Ugh.
All right. Let's get out of here, man.
Let's do it.
Rest in peace, Prodigy. To all the
killers and the $100 bills. I love this song.
Queens in the building. Queensbridge Projects, New York City. Lost a legend in hip hop the other day. 42 years old, the same age.
So young.
Alright. Shook ones. There ain't no such thing as half thing. Ain't no such thing. Yeah. Yeah. Shook ones. Anyway. Alright, don't forget. Not tomorrow night. Sunday is What Are You Reading Comic Book Show with Surfer. Tuesday you got Shining Wizard in the Rant. Then you got Rant and Wrestling. That's it with the rant. Go to rantyamradio.com. ShiningWizardNetwork.com. We got a bunch of shows there. Dave Destruction, Pat Buck, Nigel McGuinness. Hello.
Hey, Pat Buck has his own show now?
Yeah.
Isn't he doing it with the big guy?
Well, he's on Big Guys. He's doing his own.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, the Wizards. An Inconclusive Breakdown. Shout out to those cats. We love those guys.
Shout out to Midnight Jury. Shout out to everybody who's doing their thing, man. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Support all of our friends that are not network affiliates.
Buy the shirt.
Yeah, please.
Damn it.
ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We have 4 different shirts. Buy a shirt, man. It'll really help us.
Couple
of bucks go towards the website. That's pretty much how it goes. Or buy one of our friend shirts. Just support everybody.
We gotta put that Takeover Club shirt on the store if we can just sell more shirts.
Yeah.
Takeover Club.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to make that public, though. Certain people should be getting those shirts now.
Oh, boy.
You know?
No problem, Shaylin. I hope you...
Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death. Scared to look. You shook. Anyway. That's pretty much it, man. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com for the snail mail. You want to tweet us? It's @TBuckleTBacks, @ChoppyMarkGacka.
Yeah, twat us, please.
Twat us. Twatto.
Twatto.
Anyway, that's pretty much it. I don't have anything else, man. Just support indie wrestling, support indie music, support your scene.
Be a human being.
Be kind to yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. I'm bidding you all adieu, of course, as I always do. And have a good summer, man. Summer's in effect.
It's fucking hot as balls.
It's gonna be hot as balls for the next 150 days, man.
And there's a guy right here next to me that has Central Air coming up soon.
Central Air is coming.
Oh, so I'm jealous.
You could be in my house every week. What are you talking about?
That's true.
Shaylin, happy birthday, mama.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging out with us on your birthday, man. That's fucking awesome.
You're very rigorous.
You're very rigorous. All right, we're out of here, man. Guys, have a blessed rest of your week. We'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
That's it.
That's it. Howdy doody. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Dig 'em out without a hope for hustling. Get that loot, kid, you know my function. Cause long as I'm alive, I'm a live illegal. And once I get on them, I put on all my peoples. React quick, split lyrics like Max, I hit your domo. When I roll up the beat, go sleep because I'm free. Sonny shook, this ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death, scared to look, they shook. This ain't no such thing as halfway.